Hey, what's up? Back after too long of a hiatus. We're sorry to do that. It's mostly me, life, and then Shades of Blue. We went to Chicago. It was a crazy weekend. Shout out
without
to
me, but that's okay. That's okay, Peter.
We have decided that we are going to start. That's just going to be an annual thing. Is we're going to make a trip to somewhere and just like party it up at a random city every year. It was just very nice. We're gonna pick somewhere warmer next time though.
You could do Chicago, just you gotta make sure it's actually gonna be warm, because Chicago can't get warm, it's just not gonna be in April.
It wasn't right. Oh no, it can get, yeah, as from someone in the Midwest, I know it gets real hot when on certain days. But Iron Crunk Chocolate, this is the homie Grego. How are you? How you been? I haven't seen you in a while.
Oh man, it's been busy. It's crazy. Of course, we're doing stuff with FTC, and then I got people coming in this weekend, and I'm trying to do grown adult things. I actually bought a dresser, things that grown people might actually do with themselves. So it's been all right.
Nice. Well, we have so much to catch up on, and with the WWE draft looming, which we'll touch at the end, because who knows what's going to go with that. I'm always intrigued to pick your brain about things. I want to start first with craziness with the Bloodline.
We got a little bit to catch people up on, man. It's just we take a week off, and then like it seems like we get people turning left and right, and I think we definitely had to start right at the top at the Bloodline, and just the upheaval that is taking place with Solo, and whether or not he's the new tribal chief, or perhaps is he taking orders from a higher power?
No yeet. They no yeeted him.
And literally no yeet, because apparently Jimmy's injured now. So yeah,
for real.
That's what I'm hearing. Like he actually might be injured for a little bit. And this new two-headed monster is doing some things between Solo and the new man, the MFT, Tama Tonga. What you thinking so far about Tama? Because I know I'm not sure if you're entirely familiar with his work out in
completely
New Japan.
Unfamiliar. I am a super dumb person on that. Well, I don't want to say super dumb because I also watch NXT. So I guess I'm slightly upper level. When it comes to it, I'm completely brand new. The way they're presenting him, he looks badass. He looks super tough. But, I mean, he took a dude from behind and beat him. I mean, he also brought out Kevin Owens, blooded and beaten.
He tore Kevin Owens up. Like,
yeah.
The most interesting thing out of all that was the blood on TV. Because, up until recently, it was still like, especially on the weekly shows, it's like if you do blood, it better be for a damn good reason. And and just like the amount of blood that they showed, it was like, oh,
he just popped out with it. But hey, you know what they say, it's a new era.
Yeah, but like just to kind of quickly catch people up on Tama Tonga, of course, Tama Tonga's been out wrestling for New Japan Pro Wrestling for like the better part of the last 10-12 years. He was one of the founding members of Bullet Club, like the original, back when Finn Balor, Carl Anderson, Doc Gallows, and Bad Luck Fale. And it's like he carried that flag for probably up until probably right before the Elite moved over to AEW, because their last big angle was kind of like the Civil War with the Bullet Club and everything, and like they kind of most of the founding members kind of went out and did their thing, and he finished up about a month or so ago, And yeah, they quickly snapped him up. And because he's the son of Haku. And of course, Haku, he's got deep roots with the bloodline as well. And like, he's actually he's one of many people who have received a free car from the Rock. So, like, you know, like the connection is thick. So it's definitely interesting to see him fall in. And it looks like there just might be one more person coming through this week. I'm hearing rumbles and whispers and everything. Mm-hmm. So like I said, we'll see. Like I said, it's interesting to see, like, you know, we see in what I call Shug Sokoa, Death Row Sokoa.
I know.
And,
right?
It's interesting to see like what exactly his new mission is, because like it's so weird to see like things flipped the way that it have, because you went from, keep in mind, like Solo hasn't won dick at all this year. Like, no matches whatsoever. So you went from suddenly you part of the problem to suddenly I'm providing answers right now. And especially while Roman's out filming his movie, the final boss out here filming his movie, and it leaves, you know, Solo to, you know, say, hey, ain't nobody here. What's good? We in this. So it's interesting to see like where things go.
And I love the angle of with Paul Heyman. Just all of that in general, but Solo being like, where's Kevin?
Mm-hmm.
Paul purposefully kind of playing dumb and aloof and possibly not helping him find
the level Kevin of Owens. Fear. The level of fear that Paul Heyman is showing. I mean, like, dog, like. He's milking this for everything. And again, like, I think it's especially necessary because, again, you're talking about a guy who he started off really hot when he first moved up to the main roster. And but then, like, the last, like I said, 5-6 months, especially, actually, no, take it back. When after he beat Cena in Saudi Arabia, it's been like ever since then, he hasn't won anything. And so I think that, you know, assuming this position of power and authority is something that Solo's been wanting for a long time, and like he's definitely drinking it in.
He had to. And also, like you said, with all the not winning he's been doing, you almost have to go overboard to make people remember and be like, oh yeah, when he came in, he was a bad man.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of Heyman not knowing if he's doing his own thing. Is there a higher person calling? I love it. It does seem like it's going to possible War Games. That'd be about the time.
You know what?
I'll be back.
So, of course, to remind you, like I there's a couple wrestling shows that I listen to quite a bit. Of course, like Punk, I do listen to The Experience and The Drive Through, but I also listen to A Busted Open. And Bully Ray was brought up a really good scenario here where it would be like Rock, Tama, Solo, and if everything lines up correctly, Jacob Fatu against Roman, the Usos, and Sami Zayn. Yeah. And I was like, I like that. I like that a lot. And I think that for what they're trying to do, again, like we know that they still got this thing with Cody. I'm sure that will come in its due time. But I need this Civil War thing to cook. I need to see this, because I feel like if it happens, then, you know, and it actually pulls out the way that I think it will, then this will be good. This will be really good. So,
oh yeah, definitely. The heat of it, just thinking about it. What I love most about it is it takes all those big names and has nothing to do with the belt. So then you're able to build other people and their names, and almost it's a bigger deal when all of one of them from either side who succeeds and wins starts then going after those titles. This is a way to kind of just let them cook, let them simmer, and let the WWE kind of figure itself out, because it has a lot of stars that are kind of middling. A lot of people, they need to heat up again. And a lot of people, they need to give some airtime. And they're going to have to figure out how to... That's kind of the good thing about Solo. He's a person. He's not a person of many words. And since he's a man of action also, their segments can be tight and move on. It's not The Rock and
or even Roman. You don't need a five minute intro. You don't need, you know, 20 minutes to give him the talk. It's like, hey, 10 minutes and we out. We ain't doing no more talking. Like Birdman said, all you gotta do, flash that thumb, we out.
And honestly, six of that is Heyman talking.
Basically.
So it's like, it's interesting to see. I knew something was coming just because they started, Solo started talking, and it just felt very random. It was a gradual rise, but the talking was evident, and it was, I was interested. And now look at him. I'm intrigued. Yeah, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it's definitely, like I said, I'm just liking this new look on Shook Sokoa. You know, like I said, the black and the red with the yellow pocket with the red pocket square. Like it's looking tight. It's looking dope. I'm here to see how this cooks.
Yeah, and I mean, Death Row, Bloodline, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Rhea Ripley, she injured herself.
Yeah.
Liv Morgan, her revenge tour, it got a little too real. I mean, it does add some heat to her and her character, and she's handling the character very well. I love the kind of smug, because she's not necessarily evil. She's mean, and that's what I like. It's like thin lines. She's a bad person, but it's not like, you can kind of feel for her.
You know, it's very interesting, because obviously we've seen the rise in popularity with Rhea over the past year, and how I'm positive that when she comes back, she'll come back as a baby face. And now it becomes a part of where, how do we fully switch this to where by the time that Rhea gets back, that Liv is firmly as a heel? Because right now, again, like, she's kind of been, she's largely still a babyface, but obviously she's still kind of riding this tweener thing, and it probably is going to lean more into her being a heel. And if it was up to me, I'd be like, you know what, especially with what's happening with the Judgment Day right now, I'm like, this would be a great opportunity to just be like, hey, I'm taking over this bitch, and y'all listen to me, and y'all get this title from me, and y'all serve me like she a dom, and there are subs and everything, for y'all don't know about
that. Rhea Ripley, what does a baby face her look? I mean, you see her growing her hair out. So obviously the hair longer. She softens the makeup a little bit. I don't know really. She doesn't have to change the personality too much, because people are going to cheer her either way. It's just, I guess, how she talks about beating people, I guess. Because she still do the mommies on top while being a baby face?
Yes. She can't do that part, because I mean that's her line at this point. So she got to stick with that. I think it's just more so, I would say, if anything, it might be her look that changes a little bit. Of course, like, for y'all that have seen Rhea's evolution for really like the last 6-7 years, and just seen like how wildly different she looks now compared to back when she was still even in NXT UK, she has out like if it was up to me, the first thing I would actually do would actually be to change her hair. I would say if she is a baby face, let's go back to the blonde and let's play with that a little bit. And like she could still have all the obviously I'll have all the tattoos, have all the leather, have all the fishnets, but just it'd be like on some Red Sonja shit. Like for those of y'all who were like old head 80s babies and everything, y'all know Conan the Barbarian, and like they had this like one spinoff movie called Red Sonja. It'd be on some shit like that where it's like the makeup's kind of on, you know, scaled down a little bit, blonde hair, and you know, she's kind of like just like this female warrior and everything, and just, you know, bossing chicks all over the place. And like I'm looking forward to it. I feel like even for everything she's done as a heel, she's obviously meant to be a baby face. And I think that just having this little bit of time off, it's gonna make people miss her and just realize like how unique she really is to the division.
And bums, what perfect transition to her replacement. And I know she's married to Seth Rollins and he's from my area, but
you got coffee with the kid, man.
Her winning honestly bummed me out. There were so many other people that they could have gave and done some other stories. I mean, worst case, you could have let somebody else win, have their moment, and have her swoop in and beat them. I don't know.
Actually, I'm okay with this because I feel like I honestly don't feel like this is going to be a particularly long run at all. Because mind you, they called her because, of course, she had been off since Mania, and and once this happened, they called her up and said, "Hey, we need you back in," and I think that. Obviously, given her status now in WWE, she can kind of write her own ticket. And I feel like at the same time, she can help make people as well. And I feel like whether it's Liv or possibly somebody else, I think the obvious person in this scenario probably would be Liv. I think that you have an opportunity for, instead of just giving that person the belt from the battle royal, I think it would mean more beating Becky for the belt and then riding from there. So, you know, it's a temporary step back to get to where you want to be. So it'll be all right.
I can't remember. Have Liv and Nia Jax finished third squabble, like officially? I feel like
it's. From the way it looked like during the Battle Royal, I would say that they would definitely, they're either adding some more gas to that or clearly it's just not over yet. What I'm thinking is this, because of course we still have the Backlash out in France not this weekend, but next weekend. Mm-hmm. If I had to bet money, I'd probably say you're going to see Becky versus Liv versus Nia for the belt.
I like that. And that way it makes sense for Liv to win. Nia, she can look amazing, but obviously never win. I don't know. It bums me out. They need
I think the person that probably loses out in that situation honestly is Nia, because I do feel like since she's come back, they've definitely positioned her to look as best as possible.
Yes.
I get it. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of where things are at that particular moment, but I do feel like it's not like Nia wouldn't be a credible champion whatsoever. I feel like she would. It's just that obviously the story as it stands right now is going to be with Rhea and Liv. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, it's one of those times where it's like, you got to wait your turn. And, you know, it's a tough business like that, but at the same time, that's just what it is.
Yeah, because they have to basically spend 4 months burn it, heating up Liv with her and Becky, or her Nia Jax and then Becky, and then give Liv a nice little run before Rhea Ripley comes,
right?
And then build on to that. It makes sense, but man, but that's me. I want to change it. But the thing is, this is the only side, the only brand that I think Nia Jax could realistically win, because if she goes over to the other brand with the current people there, that's the star-studded women's side over there. And I mean,
depending on how this draft turns out,
it's gonna change up a lot of stuff.
And I think that, like, the draft period is always just a weird time, because obviously you're trying to finish out certain angles and stories, and at the same time go ahead and start setting up the table for new stuff on the other side of the draft. And it kind of just turns into things are kind of moving in slow motion to an extent. And it feels like nothing's happening, but at the same time, you know, you just got to pay attention to the little things, and it'll all be there. And especially with the way things are going with Triple H right now, like, I think that we just got to get through Backlash and see what happens with this draft. And then going into May, you'll start seeing, like, okay, I like what we got here. And of course, the thing about the draft, which is more unique, I think, than other drafts in the past, is with Raw going over to Netflix next year, obviously, mm-hmm. with and SmackDown moving over to USA in the fall, I think that what's going to be really important, I think, is the people who are allowed to go on either show. Because I feel like going to Netflix is going to be such a unique thing for WWE. I don't think that – I feel like they're going to want people – they're going to want to have people that can still be like, hey, I can come on Raw. So that means you got to subscribe to Netflix, see what's happening on Raw, and that way you're able to keep up with the story, because otherwise you're going to be missing a whole lot. So it's this draft is probably more intriguing than probably any since probably the drafts first started.
Yeah. Yep. Because I was trying to think about it. The first couple of years when there was a direction, it did get very lost. Mm-hmm. And this is a good way to, they're in a very good spot. And I'm excited. And even with NXT, they did a good job at bringing the GMs down to Ava and, mm-hmm. you know, giving her a little bump and good words. And I mean, the NXT, they are doing some good things.
Of course, they had spring breaking night one of spring breaking.
And
we got some big stuff that happened on Tuesday night. We got us a new NXT men's champion.
Whoop that trip.
I like it.
Oh yeah, man. Shout out to Booker T. Please don't sue us.
But no, nah, man. You know what? Like, it's funny because of course, everything's been on social media the past couple of days, just talking about like the growth that Trick has undergone since he first got started. Because I actually do remember his very first promo with Melo on NXT. And I was just like, they're leaning a little too hard on whatever ghetto accent that they're trying to do, but it's not quite working just yet. But clearly they were on a path, and it's definitely paid off to where you have a guy that's, you know, lightning on the mic. And able to really take people on a ride whenever he's in the ring. Because I feel like with him, especially, I said, the last 7-8 months, you know, going through the matches with Ilya, going through the matches with Melo, and especially the Iron Survivor match, like, I feel like he's really made some major leaps to where, obviously, they're now with Melo moving on and probably Ilya moving on as well to the main roster. I think that and also Bron Breakker moving on. So right now you're talking about Trick Williams is the face of NXT.
Oh, ooh, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Great point.
Yeah.
I love his knee, that his like finisher, the knee that he gives.
Yeah.
He glides and almost like freezes in a spot. It feels like a Street Fighter move.
How they kind of like thinking about that.
hold still and glide into the move. That's exactly how his knee looks. It almost looks like the person is running into
all you,
it.
All you need is
the
speed last.
And his energy. Obviously, the whoop that Trick is super fun to chant.
Yeah.
I mean, other than the WWE doing the most people very dirty with their intro songs, they occasionally have bangers like Whoop That Trick. I mean, there are some people who have very significant ones.
No, did you hear about Randy Orton canceling? They're supposed to do like a remix of his theme song, and he said, "Nah, don't do that," because like, and like it was like some last minute like, "This ain't gonna work, Chief," and I don't know what's, I don't know what the deal is with Def Rebel, but it's just not clicking. Like while we were gone, Tiffany Stratton's music changed and then went back to her NXT music. I was like right now things are just a mess when it comes to the music. And I feel like that's been such an iconic part of the presentation with WWE. Exactly. I'm like, I need y'all to get that right. Like,
yeah, like instantaneously knowing who the superstar was just from just the beginning. Yeah. A lot of them are trying to mimic that by having the wrestler's voice and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, that doesn't work because
on everybody. You can't do that. You can't do that with like five different wrestlers who all show up on the same show. Like it just doesn't work. Like you can get away with you know, two, maybe three, but like anything beyond that, it's like you're overkilling it, and it becomes a case of where the feature is no longer unique. And and that's something where, like I said, it's just a
Everybody's
shame right
just
now because
rapping their own songs now.
And it's funny because like Twitter is just it can be merciful when it comes to how they roast these Def Rebel theme songs, because like I saw the other day, like they had like a spoof version for Randy, they had a spoof version for The Rock, they had a spoof version for who else was it? I think Ilya, I think, and Imperium. I was like, dog, I wonder who over in WWE, like whoever's the social media admins and everything, they just look at us and be like dog, like they roasting the shit out of us. Like, and of course, obviously you're not talking about somebody who like works in the front office. It's just the social media admin who just say, hey, like come check us out in Albuquerque and shit, and like it ain't me, dog, it ain't me, and it's like and they gotta take them L's every single time.
Every single time it be like that. Sorry for you, my homie.
It's a really good time to be a black champ right now, because like you got you got Trick as NXT champion.
Uh-huh.
You got Cody Luther King III as the unified champ. Now it's just the unified champ. The rest in peace, the universal title is just a unified WWE championship. You got Cody, you got R-Truth as one half of the world tag team champs. Are you liking those the new belt designs?
I mean, they're okay. They seem I like the energy, Like, they seem fancier. They seem gaudier. Oh, yeah. They seem more grand.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, that the weird the WWE logo in the center of it just makes it feel like a toy.
I mean, you got to have the branding, so I get it to an extent, but yeah. I mean, the SmackDown version, like, they definitely went old school on that one, like, shaping it like the old 80s and 90s tag team belts. I'm just glad they just got rid of those nickel belts, because, like, I don't know what they were doing with that, because I'm like, these guys deserve gold too. Like, even the women's tag team belts got gold. Y'all giving these guys some nickel plates. Like, don't do that to them. But no, like, you got, like I said, Cody, Trick, you got R-Truth, even elsewhere. Like, you got Scott Moose and Tina, he's a world champion, used to play football. My babe, Willow Nightingale, just won the TBS championship in Impact. And last but not least, a guy that's near and dear to my heart, Swerve Strickland, is the new AEW world champion, winning this past Sunday at AEW Dynasty. He's come such a long way, and I feel like he's been one of the few bright spots with AEW the past like year or so, because I feel like he's probably one of the few people there who have really been focused with his creative, and it's paid off. I know he got some questionable stuff in his past as far as, you know, things about black women and everything, and how, and being looped in with black wrestlers, but I'm hoping, here is my thing about Swerve Strickland, I'm hoping in this case it's a case, because, like, you ever heard the saying, either the person makes the belt or the belt makes the person?
Yes.
I feel like this is an opportunity for the belt to make Swerve and be that person that a lot of people see in him, and be that shining example for black people all over the world, to be that Sidney Poitier and all that stuff. But, like, hopefully, I said, like, you know, people put that high stuff on us, and I'm like, can we just be normal? Like, please. But no, I'm happy for him. It was a great moment at Dynasty. Of course, I feel horrible for Samoa Joe, because I feel like he actually brought some legitimacy to that belt. And but, you know, sometimes you got to ride that wave. And I said, we swerve when we drive, dog. We swerve when we drive.
I have started listening to wrestlers' entrances, and his is in the playlist.
Oh yeah,
it's a good one. It's a fun one.
It took me a while to kind of realize that, one, like, he's actually in the song, and then two, with the guy that comes with him on Prince Nana, I was like, I did not realize that was blowing up the way that it was. I was like, like all of a sudden it was like, he'd been doing it for a while, but I guess people weren't catching on to it.
Yes.
And then once everybody caught on to it, it was like, okay.
Now that they're on.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's because it's just so silly, and his character is so silly.
Yeah.
And I think it correlates to Swerve's success.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the silliness, you have more swagger when he's coming down and he's winning. And I think it also complements, contrasts very well to Swerve's, like, how serious he is when he's coming down.
He chill, he focused. Like,
yes.
Like, you just had to know, like, when he came out looking like Killmonger, it's like, oh, this is happening tonight. This is happening.
Yeah. Oh, let's go.
But yes, my baby Willow, I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm a single man, just come see me.
I hope the best for you, truly. I'm trying to think, because I wouldn't mind staying with NXT a little bit before we dabble into the draft, because that could be a fun thing. Because even with the draft, where because you're gonna lose everybody. I'm not gonna lie, I'm fucking over Chase University, whatever they're doing. Those people are just running in circles.
Let me interrupt you real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
we just had some recent releases with WWE, and to your point, like anytime I see Andre Chase, I'm like, what else is on TV, dog? Like I don't get it. I feel like even for
is the Chase U merch really selling like that?
I can only imagine it does a little bit, but even then, it's like the person behind it. I'm like. The dude wrestles in a full sweater and button up. And I'm like, and you can tell he ain't that big. So it's like, you're really trying to get me to believe that this guy gonna actually beat somebody's ass. And I'm like, oh no, dog. Like that ain't gonna work for me. it just doesn't. And you know, like I feel like he would be somebody that's much, much, much better suited to be a manager or something. Cause
exactly.
Like as an actual wrestler, I mean, mm-hmm. if you need something like a specialty match, like if he going against some chick or whatever, or mm-hmm. or possibly somebody who's just as little as he is, then maybe. But other than that, just absolutely not.
I'm surprised they haven't had him turn on Duke yet, because they need.
It was supposed to be the other way around a while back, and they never did it. So I was like, okay, you know, whatever works.
I think Duke makes a better good guy, and Chase will make a better bad guy. Like Chase, because they have him cursing all stuff all the time, and I don't know. I think maybe they should just play with that. Like the crowd boos him, and he gets angry, and he almost curses every single time, and then he just kind of like storms off. That's all you got to do. It just has to be super simple and silly.
But yeah, like they released Jinder Mahal. The tag team that he was with Veer, they were released Zaya Lee. Who was the guy with the big Cro-Magnon eyebrows? Shit, I don't know, I can't remember his name now. He got released. Cameron Grimes got released.
Yeah,
I feel so bad for that dude, because I feel like he is once again another victim of the old man and his dumb shit. Because he's the reason why he got his beard all trimmed down. He trimmed down all the chest hair, and he looked basic after that. I was like, when he went back when he was had the top at the leather top hat, and he talking about to the moon, and he was riding those stunk trades back when that was hot. Then he had the $1 million belt. Like he had something, and they took all that away, and it was just nothing. And it was
absolutely nothing.
Like you actually had something with him a while back that was actually cooking, and you didn't want to ride that. I'm like, why? Like nothing about this. And I get it, because like he's a country boy from North Carolina. Like I've seen mm-hmm. that very, 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 very often. And it's something I feel like the old man just, and it's weird because like the old man's from Greenville, North Carolina. Like it's 30 minutes from my hometown. So I'm like, you are country, deep in your bones, and you don't want to admit that shit.
Yeah,
and yeah. Like, cause you like, I know the trailer parks that you grew up in, especially back then. I'm like, no. Stop acting like you ain't been poor, dog. Like, no. But I feel like when he saw Cameron Grimes. He saw his childhood, and he had flashbacks, and he got triggered. He's like, "Nah, I got to fuck with this dude." And it's unfortunate, because I Cameron Grimes was definitely on something. I know he was with TNA before he went to NXT. So, and I feel like he at least has enough of a name now to where he could probably go back to TNA and actually do something there. So I'm hoping for the best for him. I do want to see Jinder Mahal go to AEW just to fuck with Tony Khan after all that stuff that happened a couple months ago. I'm like, I need that in my life.
I would like that. I mean, these cuts, there are a couple of people though who can. Well, I feel like Jinder Mahal is kind of the one who could do the most from this, but AEW is great at debuting people, but.
Kind of and not much like, else. Yeah. That's their thing. It's like you'll have a great debut, and after that, hey, good luck.
the family. I'm kind of over them, even though they just added a person. But I don't know. I feel like the family, they've taken so long to heat up. I also know the Don, he's been getting hurt a lot. I'm not trying to just go through and think about everything.
Now, I know Fallon, you know,
Henley, I'm not, you know, I'm not selling her. Sorry. Fallon, what were you about to say?
Yeah, no, I know you don't watch a lot of AEW because we gotta get you on the Fire Stick pretty soon. But did you check out the results from Dynasty?
Yes.
Yeah. I said it was a pretty decent show. Still just long for no damn reason.
I feel like all of their pay per views aren't they?
Yes, they are.
They let these people bang out. They let them have amazing matches.
But of course, everybody's raving about Will Ospreay and Brian Danielson, like
the greatest match ever.
I mean, if you like that type of thing, cool. I just wish that there was a why, because I feel like besides that, it's like I'll give an example. Last night you had Ilya versus Trick.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, you have babyface versus babyface. Typically, when you have that, you don't know who to root for, who to root against.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave you a story with those two for the better part of the last 7-8 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so that by the time you finally got it, it was like, I'm invested in seeing what happens here.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you flip on over here with AEW, they debuted on Will Ospreay about like a month and a half ago. First of all, they put him up against guys in his own faction or whatever, which that was just dumb. But then they threw together this match with Bryan Danielson. Of course, I'm not sure if Bryan Danielson's this is really his last year, at least as a full time guy. I don't know. That's kind of what they've been billing for a little bit. But I feel like they wanted to have this match before he started slowing down for real. But but still, it's this case of where you just threw this together to where there's no real heat behind it. And granted, it was a good match, but there's no story. And I'm like, there's no reason why I would want to see this other than just saying, like, hey, they had a great exhibition. And I feel like, did you really need to rush that to where, why not have this at Double or Nothing in May? And you would have built up a story that would have carried you for the last 2 months going into that match, and actually gave people a reason to truly invest in that at least a little bit. But, you know, for what it was, as I'm often told, for the people who like the type of thing, that's the thing those people like. So if you liked it, cool.
This guy hates wrestling. You hear it here. This guy hates wrestling.
I think I have hardened in my elder young years to where like needing the why is necessary, because without that, it's like, why should I care about these two white boys beating up on each other? I'm like, hey, if that's what y'all want to do, have at it. that ain't got nothing to do with me.
No, that's facts. No, that's facts. And they're just going to throw, what do you think about Willow and going against the CEO?
I mean, at least they're doing something there. I mean, of course, I'm actually having conversations online as we speak, because, of course, we're recording during while Dynamite's on. My only thing there is, for how they've positioned Mercedes, why isn't she going for the women's championship? Because she's supposed to be like this, like, all-time paid woman up in the company. Like, you're not putting her as the going after the main women's championship. I mean, I get it with the story with Willow, and I feel like that's probably why they're doing this, because they don't want to put Willow in the world championship picture. But I feel like, one, that's fucked up, because Willow's actually one of your better wrestlers in the company. But two, I'm like, you're about to make the same mistake with Mercedes that you did with Jay, where it's like you're positioning your biggest star for your secondary belt, and nothing about that makes sense
at all.
I'm like, especially because like you could, because you could easily have Mercedes versus Tony, and that's going to make you money. That will make you money.
Exactly. And you could have drawn that out forever because Tony is so ridiculous. She could probably get out of easily two matches before they actually have to do something.
Yeah. I'm like, they're getting better with some of the stuff they're doing with the women's division. Cause like the past couple of weeks, especially with Tony and Thunder Rosa, they both had like promos that have just like gone viral and just and like been some really good stuff compared to the known norm in AEW with the women. But again, you paid her this money, go ahead and put her where she should be at the top of the division and keep it moving. Because and then after she wins the belt, you can still have the stuff with Willow after the fact, like. Make it make sense, man. Make it make sense, making Jesus.
Oh, man. Man's is hurt. Okay. Man, Damian Priest as champ. He's been it for a couple of weeks. How are you feeling about this, about him?
Did you see that backstage interview that he had on NXT last night when he, like, he's backstage with the putting his arm around the interviewer? Like, how you doing? Like, I don't know if you remember back when he was in NXT, when he won the North American title, he partied with these girls and still in his full ring gear in a hot tub. I need that energy, but like, I need that Damian Priest back, especially if you talk about splitting away from the Judgment Day and he being this night owl party animal. Like I need that in my life. Cause I feel like he's like, hey, I got this belt now. I got this new hair now. I'm like, yo, like what's good? Like y'all call me bisexual Undertaker if you want to. I'ma steal your man and your girl. That's where he goes.
Like legit, like modern day. Like he is going like Razor Ramon vibes. Like he's being like a sex symbol almost. Like and he's embracing it. No, it's great.
Yeah, it's crazy because I'm with this energy. And I feel like, especially like with the promo that he had with Jay on Monday, like, I got all the love in the world for Jay, but I need Damian to cook for a little bit. I feel like this is a good look.
1,000%. We got to let Damian do his thing. He's one of the older superstars. He has an expiration. I mean, he still has some time, and I think the fact that he really got he's getting into his best shape now.
Yeah.
So I feel like that also will help him. And also the thing about being a big guy, you can kind of just do less flippy stuff and more power stuff and make the adjustments.
And on that note, as far as him being in his best shape, like, yo, like for those of y'all who aren't fully familiar with the Damian Priest story, especially like going back to when he was in Ring of Honor as Punishment Martinez, like the body transformation is real. Like
it's him, insane.
Him and Gunther, like dog, like you wouldn't even recognize them from 10 years ago if you looked at them now. Like it's absolutely wild. And I'm absolutely happy for Damian Priest and the success that he's getting now, and it really just took him leveling up, and like the work is there, and they made the moment count for him when he cashed in. So like I said, like let this cook for a minute. I feel like we got something here.
Yes, man, but that's the thing, he beats Jay. What does Jay do? Because Jimmy's now hurt, supposedly. He's a good guy.
I'm surprised they haven't addressed that. Like they haven't had him addressed that any. Because I feel like that what happened there should have reverberated over to him. Because like even like with Naomi, when she was challenging Bayley And Tiffany came out and was talking that Cash shit. That was right after the attack on Jimmy, and you could tell that she was emotional, but they wouldn't tell. Obviously, they wouldn't refer to why. And I'm like, obviously, she's bothered by it. Paul Heyman's bothered by it. You can't tell me, especially for all the times that Jay's been saying lately, like, "Hey, I miss my bro, dog. I miss my bro." And mm-hmm. like, you're not saying anything and say, "Hey, like when I'm gonna see you in its own sight." Like, give me some of that at least, where it's like, "Hey, it might not happen tonight, but it's coming."
He's secretly crying behind those Yeet sunglasses. You don't know. It looks like sweat, but they're tears.
Thug tears.
Okay. Gunther. Oh my gosh. And then, oh boy, turning on. Oh my gosh.
Ludwig
Kaiser turning on Giovanni Vinci.
It's funny because, like, for all the stuff that we were talking about during the WrestleMania preview as far as turns, it's like they're all happening now. And
yes, right.
we're about to come into this draft. We're about to go into that in a second. And you're already seeing, like, the pieces on the chessboard are being laid out as far as where things are going to go for the next year. And, again, you're talking about a huge year for WWE. Making the move to Netflix, moving SmackDown to the USA, and you're going to start creating, you know, more new stars to where, like, every title is going to be that competition is going to be thick. And, like, if you're one of the few people who can't manage to get something over, it's going to be like, it ain't going to be for lack of trying, because they really are setting the table for a lot of stuff. Like, we haven't even got into Chad Gable. And what happened with him and Sammy and this past Monday with his guys in Alpha Academy. I'm like, dog, like there's so much going on right now. That like it's a good time right now. Like it's very exciting.
Oh man.
The way Chad laid into Maxine and Otis, I was like, damn.
And the crazy thing is, it seemed to work on Maxine because she eliminated multiple people in the battle royal. So
yeah, like, you know, between that and the little bit that that Becky told her in the back, I was like, I feel like it's not gonna happen right away, but Maxine actually just might make out good. It's just gonna take a while to cook it. I feel like that's on purpose, mm-hmm. and that's okay. That mm-hmm. is perfectly fine, because like they don't need her at the top right now, because they got plenty up top. So it's just a matter of her keep on building, keep on cooking, and when the time is right, it'll all make sense and be like, ah, we got something here.
Exactly. And when and if she does hit, now they have the whole, they can be like, look at when she became from this to now, look at her.
She was a rock, and then we made her to a diamond.
Yeah, and honestly, wow. My brain is melted. I'm blanking on everybody's names.
Wow. Let's get up in this draft, man.
Yes, let's get into this. Wow, that was bad. I was just gonna say the dude who does the worm. Why am I forgetting his name?
Oh, Otis. The caterpillar. Yeah, Otis.
Yes. He's losing his hair. I mean, respect to him, but if they turn him heel, he can turn his head, he can buzz his hair, and it makes sense.
Yeah,
it fits in the character.
Yeah,
and I mean, that's if he wants to do that. But I mean, he doesn't have to hold on to that for character. It would fit.
Don't be like Baron Corbin, who was just like for the longest time just on a pure struggle mode with that long hair, knowing good and well that shit needed to go. Like sometimes you just gotta know.
John Cena tries to always slick his hair back.
At least he's old now. And of course, shout out to John Cena, because he just turned 47 earlier this week. But like, again, he's 47. So a bald spot might be, you know, on point. It's just the fact that, especially because like what's more jarring with John Cena is just, you know, how much he's grown his hair out. And it just looks so weird because he had that crew cut for the longest time, and now you're having to see him like with like regular hair, and it's like, yeah, I don't like this dog. I don't like that. I need that crew cut back. But no, I mean, obviously, like when you're in movies, you can just wear a wig and call it a day. So, you know, it is what it is.
Okay. Okay. So before we get out of here, let's talk about this draft a little bit. Mm-hmm. Who would be your first? Let's go back and forth. Let's just real quick. Who would be your first pick?
Well, keep in mind, of course, the rules have kind of already been set out. Like apparently the champs are staying put where they are. I think the only ones that might be able to move are like the tech champs, I believe. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the most part, everything, like all the current champs are staying where they are. So Cody's staying. Cody's now officially moved over to SmackDown. Okay. Damian's at Raw. Sammy's staying on Raw, and Logan Paul's on SmackDown. From there, again, like my big thing would be, because I feel like the. At least Roman Reigns is going to be sort of like a free agent, I think.
So he can definitely just do whatever he wants.
I think you're going to see Gunther and Ludwig move over to SmackDown. That would probably be my first pick.
Ludwig. Oh. Yeah, I don't think you'd have to waste a pick on Ludwig, though, right?
Well, you can move factions over and everything. So that would mean you take both Ludwig and Gunther together. So take them over to SmackDown.
They introduced that last year. I feel like it was during last year's draft, mm-hmm. or maybe it was 2 years ago. They drafted like a tag team or a faction or something like that. And they're like, can you do that? Yeah. And boom, now it is. Now it's a thing.
There you go.
And that's what you got to do. Just do it, call it, and act like it's a thing. man, that's a good pick. And do you, okay, well, instead of going through all the picks like that, do you separate our three queens?
No, you would move more of the Raw.
And so do you officially turn them into a faction in order to keep them all?
I think they just did, actually, because I feel like either Jade or Bianca did something on Instagram recently, and like they're now calling themselves the big three.
They're calling themselves the big three. I love it. That's
cool. And I think that, if you keep them all together for right now, you have to go ahead and bring them all over to Raw, which will probably means like in a later round you'll see the Street Profits and Bobby moved over to Raw as well. So yeah.
And then who do you put in the tag team and who do you give the championship to?
You could probably do a switch there where Truth and Miz go over to SmackDown and Waller and Theory go to Raw.
Oh, no, I meant in the big three, because I assume that's what you bring them over. Like between the three, which two are getting the tag team titles?
Which one
is getting the women's title? Because you're going to get to give them all
the titles. So Jade and Bianca have already been talking about that. So I think that's already on deck. So. Yeah, I would actually be shocked. I'm pretty sure like probably by Friday they probably will set up Jade and Bianca versus Damage Control. Like I would be shocked if that didn't happen, because that's already been cooking.
And then you draft the champs. Man, then do you draft Naomi?
You still bring her over. Like I said, you can still depending on what happens with the women's title, of course, if it switches over to Nia or Liv, you have a you have Naomi there as a babyface to go after that that woman. So it all still works.
I love it. Wow. Oh,
I do this.
I know. No, you're nailing it. And I'm just like, oh yeah, that does work. That does work. Oh man, I'm trying to think who are some wrestlers that you feel are gonna get like phased out through this draft, because and it's not really because of anything. It's just it's so top heavy right now.
Yeah, I mean it's tough right now. Like one person, I'm honestly like. I'm feeling for them so hard right now because I feel like he's done so much work the past 6 months, and obviously they've all it's all been to essentially lose. It's my man Shinsuke. I feel like you know
you feel bad for Shinsuke. Nobody feels bad for Shinsuke.
No, because like you consider the fact like how much they've used him in the past 6 months. You know, going against Seth. Going against Cody and of course never winning when honestly I felt like the moment was there with Seth to even if it's just for something like a quick 2 month run and Seth gets it back at the Rumble, something like that. The opportunity was there where Shinsuke was being presented pretty well and they just never did it. But yeah, like I feel like like he's definitely one. Who else? I am very curious to see now that they've lost the tag team titles in NXT, what happens with Baron Corbin? Because I feel like did I miss something on NXT last night where it felt like he was maybe switching back to Happy Corbin?
I must have missed that completely. I must have ran to the bathroom while that was playing.
It's possible. It's possible. Definitely possible. But yeah, I feel like because like obviously the stars are clearly with Braun.
Oh, 1,000%.
Well, as far as his future plans, so it's like, where does that necessarily leave him? I would probably say so, like. Depending on what happens with Judgment Day going forward, I feel like JD McDonagh might be a guy that kind of gets lost in the weeds.
Oh, 1,000%. Get that big-headed little neck dude out of here. His arms, like he's just so awkward. He's gotten his voice a little bit better. Like he has an edge now. He has an intensity that he didn't have at the beginning of his time at Judgment Day. And that's more than just persona. Even in his wrestling, when he first started wrestling, there was something missing. Now he has that.
Yeah,
he still has some growing to do, and I think he needs to do that alone, or maybe just with another person in a tag team. I'm not quite sure. Maybe he needs to go back down to NXT, honestly.
But I'll give you another one. That honestly, this one actually really does hurt because. They've just been they like for anything that's been good in WWE the past decade, especially under the old man. Like I feel like they've been responsible for at least half of those moments. The New Day.
Oh yeah,
like I feel like yes. like since Big E's been gone, it's just like the aura and the joy has just been on a steady decline, mm-hmm. and like they still use them. To try to get other tag teams over, or whoever the tag champs are at that particular time, but I just feel like this is just a steady decline to where it's just like,
okay, yeah, they're jobbers now.
We're done now, and it's unfortunate because again, like for everything that's been good on the past 10 years, like they've been responsible for a good chunk of it, and it's. It's just sad to see that all kind of come down to a slow burn.
But it's in the ring. They will be continued to use on the mic, in front of cameras, other shows.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're going to stay in the company for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, their time as wrestlers.
Yeah, that for sure. Yes. Like, I can already see Xavier Woods. He's going to have multiple irons in the fire in a lot of different ways. So, yeah, his face ain't going nowhere.
And also, I think Baron Corbin, I could be wrong, but I don't know. He just feels like big old man energy. And that's why I think he's not really getting any interest in love.
Once they finish off this wolf dog wolf cat dog type of thing,
yeah, I think it's over for him.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting because like they've already kind of warmed him up, cooled him down, warmed him up, and it's like, you know, like I say, he does the work, but it's like at the same time, like, you have so many other new faces to work with now where it's like you might not need him as much. Like, I feel like he actually might be one of those guys who just be better off in NXT, and you could help and you could have him get those new guys who are on their way up over.
And I mean, that's what they basically have had his character say, that he enjoys the NXT, let him have some fun. I assume that maybe he'll be Trick's first guy to beat.
I feel like it's going to be him or possibly, I know the Final Testament came through NXT recently. I could definitely see Trick versus Karrion Kross. And that's another one where I'm like,
he does not need a loss to freaking Trick. Going down to NXT, where in theory you're supposed to get heated up and then you lose to him. Like, yeah, I understand he'd be the champ, but that's not a good look.
Yeah, it's, you know, They've been trying to recapture that magic with Karrion for a while, and like, again, you can start by cutting his hair back off, but I guess they don't want to do that. So, yeah.
All right. Well, this was a good, nice little recap. I feel like we burned through a lot of people. We touched a bunch of topics, and when we come back, since we have caught up, we can kind of get at a few other topics, but you know, I'm excited. We got SmackDown and spring break in Raw. I mean, with the football season ending in the summer, don't be surprised if we start doing more episodes during the week when there's a little more time on our hands.
Indeed.
I am Crunk Chocolate.
Where can they find us on the socials, man?
Yeah. You should find us. We are on Twitter or X at your favorite wrestling podcast. It is at YFW.
It's fundamental. YFW podcast.
Podcast.
Yes.
Yes, and also on Instagram and on Threads. You can find us there. Grego, how can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Grego_82. You can, of course, find my other show at FTCUTD. Hey. And, of course, like I said, like, you can catch me, you know, behind the wheel sometimes on the YFW mothership on Twitter. Because, yeah, like, I love interacting with the people, and of course things are just so fun right now, and people are all up in their feelings about so much stuff, and I'm like, here, I got smoke for everybody.
Yeah, I know, he's great. He's honestly the MVP of our page at the moment. When I made the change, I've made alarms for Raw, NXT, and SmackDown. My phone now goes, hey, get somewhere, sit down, prepare to watch it.
Let's wait till we get this fire stick straight, because there's so much out here, man. There's so much out here.
I do so many things. I don't take the wrestling in very well. I need to take notes, because I go, I don't need to take notes. And then we kind of get here, and then there'll be like spots that I want to talk about or something. And I'm like, crap, I forgot to mention this stuff. So yeah, I guess I got to be that dork that has to take notes for wrestling.
It happens, man. It's like I said, you know, the little things matter. So, you know, yeah. keep up with us, and we'll give you all the good stuff.
Hey, well, you know, we appreciate you. Dang, still got to work on this like nice zinger to get us out of here. Bye.